Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of Carnegie Mellon University's Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center operated by Carnegie Mellon University and sponsored by the U.S. Department of Defense. A transcript of this podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast. My name is Suzanne Miller. I'm a principal researcher here at the SEI, and today I'm here to introduce you to Tim Shamil, who is a researcher in our CERT division, and he is going to be talking to us about network analysis and some very particular ways of manipulating network data that we think will be very interesting. This all contributes to network system survivability. So, Tim, would you tell us just a little bit about your background, what brought you to the SEI, and what brought you to this work in particular?
Well, I'm a PhD researcher working with interests in the area of network security and safety. With interests involving network security and survivability.
Will you start over, Tim?
Sure.
Just since we're so close to the beginning. That was your mulligan.
Okay. Well, I'm a PhD researcher working in the area of network systems security and survivability. Okay. I came to the SEI originally as a visitor in the late 90s. And what I found here was both a very good, strong team environment and access to a body of data that is otherwise very, very difficult to get access to. The Network System Survivability Program had built up a lot of trust with respect to some major organizations, and they were being had data being shared with it that would enable a lot of interesting work.
Okay.
And since then, we've actually extended that by fielding network sensors that allow us to collect data across fairly wide-scale networks and do analyses that can help inform security decisions on those networks. I made the decision to leave my former place of employment, the Naval Postgraduate School, and come to the SEI in the 1999 timeframe.
Okay.
And even though I'd resigned from a tenured position in order to come here, I haven't regretted it for an instant since.
It is fun to work here.
There's a lot, and
as you said, there's data and people that you have access here, that you can access here, that you really can't get anywhere else in the world, and the body of variety of data. So that, I think, is one of the things that contributes to your current work in network flow analysis. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that particular aspect of network analysis?
Well, since about 2003, the SEI has been collecting network flow data. We're doing that on behalf of several different sponsors, but we are collecting this data across very, very large-scale networks. Well, why network flow data?
And tell us a little bit about what do you mean by network flow data for some of our audience?
A network flow record is a record of traffic moving across a computer network, okay, going from one computer to another. You can kind of think of this as analogous to the call data that would be present on a phone bill.
Okay.
So it tells where it came from, where it's going to, when it happened, how long it happened.
Right.
In the case of network flow, it'll tell you how much data moved across and on what services.
Okay.
But it doesn't include the content. Just like a call record doesn't tell you what was said on the call, the network flow record doesn't actually say this was this website or this was this email message that said this and so forth. The lack of content is really, really useful for network security for a couple of reasons. One, it makes the network flow data very concise. We can record the presence of a communication in a very, very small footprint, which means we can collect it across a very large network economically, and it also means that we can store these for a long period of time, months to years. We're not quite to the decade level, but pretty close. What it does tell us also is enough indicative information to allow us to perform a variety of different analysis to look for things that could be either threats or context information that may help defenders understand what's going on. So, for example, knowing what websites my the people are going to. We can look at what traffic, what web traffic is moving. We can say, okay, where is the web traffic going to? Where is it coming from? Which ones are key external sites that my people tend to use?
And so if there are vulnerabilities that are known for a particular source of data, you can actually make that public, well, public to your colleagues, help people to understand, don't use that
particular
source.
I don't want to block those sites because those are the ones we need.
Or the opposite, right?
You know, or
and so if there's a vulnerability there, we need to fix it.
We need to have it fixed, or we need to deal with it in some other way.
Right.
But having that kind of context, we can identify the likely source of spam email within a 5-minute period of the source starting to send out email. And it turns out if you do a rolling block, you can block out at perhaps as much as 75% of spam by blocking the source that's sending it.
Okay. That's why we have block sender on our little junk email.
Well, but it's not even the sender that we're doing. We're actually looking at the IP address that's...
Okay. The physical sender, yeah.
The physical machine that's propagating the email, which is quite different from the from address.
So network flow sounds like it's a pretty powerful data source.
It is.
Is it powerful enough to be the single source of goodness and wisdom for network security, or if it's not, how does it play with all the other sources of data that are needed to contribute to network security?
I've talked about the advantages of not having content. There are drawbacks as well. One, if you're dealing with network attacks that strike through the content of the data, so for example, an SQL injection, where it's a change in value that's going through, an unexpected value. The network flow will tell you, oh, this transfer occurred. It doesn't tell you that it was an SQL injection, and it can't, because it doesn't look at the content.
Okay.
So, you know, in terms of being all end all, no, it's not the be all and end all. But if you're dealing with a large organization, there is so much data moving across that network and analysts really need to apply a mix of methods. They need to both be able to, from their starting point, generalize what they're looking at, expand their focus to make sure that they're capturing all of the aspects that are relevant to understanding this
phenomenon.
This phenomenon. And it could be a benign phenomenon. In other words, some new service is coming out, people are starting to use this new service, we want to be thinking about security measures to help protect this new service. Or it could be a malicious phenomenon. There's a new brand of attack that's coming in place. We want to be able to understand how that attack occurs so that we can directly protect it.
So just to tell you how long I've been working at the SEI now, my first thought when all the Pokemon Go stuff came out was, I wonder who's going to try and use that to, you know, do malicious things with people's phones. I mean, that was my first thought. I've been talking to you people for way too long.
Yeah, that's possibly too. I honestly don't know of any malicious exploit of Pokemon.
I don't either, but it was like I couldn't help thinking about it.
Other than perhaps some arguments that, oh, go to this site and you'll get some useful cheats, and lo and behold, it puts malware on your phone instead. Yeah. There have been a couple cases like that.
Yeah. So you gave us one real world example in terms of, you know, we need to make sure we protect this source of data because the network flow shows us that this is a frequently used site for gathering the kinds of data that we need for our business. What are some of the other uses that you've seen out in the real world for network flow analysis?
One really common one is I have an IDS alert. Okay.
An IDS alert is?
A network intrusion detection system.
Okay.
Applying some pattern against packets flowing across my network says, this one appears to be malicious. And it could be, okay, this is an SQL injection. The IDS alert in and of itself really doesn't provide a defender with all the information they would like to have in order to defend it.
Okay.
In particular, it really doesn't tell you very much about the target other than its IP address. So the potential victim against the IP address. It doesn't tell you much about the source other than its IP address. So using network flow data, we can say, is this a source that contacts our network regularly? Is this a strategic partner for our network? In that case, I probably want to be able to reach out to them, to give them some information. If it's some site in an unfriendly foreign nation, I probably don't want to do that, particularly if they're not one that has any business relationship to me at all. Right. There's only loss. There's no gain in that scenario.
Okay.
With respect to the victim, my internal victim, perchance, is this a host that I'm relying on for a particular service? Again, thinking SQL injection, that's very common for web attack against websites with a database backend.
Right.
So is this a site which provides a key website?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't, I may look and say, is it one that we've ever seen doing web service at all?
Right.
In which case, they may be just barking up the wrong tree. It may be a false alarm. It may be an uninformed attacker throwing something against a location that would never work.
So the
if it is one of my key web servers, then I need to go in and look and see, okay, what's the potential impact here?
So the network flow data adds context to basic alert information.
Right.
And allows you to sort of take it to the next level of what's the next question that I should ask.
That's kind of the expanding the focus idea.
Okay.
You're starting from an event, you're using network flow data to put that event in a context and potentially be able to identify other related events that are all part of the same pattern.
Okay, so the pattern recognition, because you've got the very large data sets that you're gathering from.
Right. The other thing that network flow can let you do is focus your attention. And here, I start with broad general patterns of usage. Mm-hmm. There's a real, real common usage pattern we call the diurnal curve. When does the computer usage in an organization start to ramp up?
Sure.
8:30 in the morning.
Yep.
Right? It ramps up until about 10, hits a steady state, takes a dip, and then maybe a little bump over lunchtime hour because some people do some web surfing over the lunch, then goes back up to about the same level and remains pretty stable until about 4:30 in the afternoon, and there's a normal natural drop off down to a much lower level. And it's the work day.
Right.
The curve is offset depending on what the local time of day is. We see a lot in Eastern Seaboard because we're in Pittsburgh and we relate a lot to folks with Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But you can certainly see it vary according to different locations nationwide or worldwide. The interesting question is not, is there a diurnal curve? Because that's very common. The interesting question is, are there departures from the diurnal curve?
Okay.
Is there a sudden interruption? Is there a particularly high spike? Okay, now I can turn to other data sources to help me drill down and understand that. Can I look at my firewall records and see whether or not there was some interruption in terms of block traffic or network connection problems with respect to that? Can I look at my web server logs and see whether or not there was a big spike of activity for whatever reason? But if I see a spike across several different services, I may have to pivot into several different logs, but network flow helps me focus on that particular time period as being an exception to a very broad pattern. And we've done this with respect to particular organizations, the enterprise level or the municipal level organizations. We've also done this with respect to much larger networks where the traffic goes between enterprises.
Okay.
And the principle sort of applies there. Both this generalization and the specialization are fairly common network analysis methods.
Okay.
Top down and bottom up, you think about those kinds of things. What is true, however, is that a lot of the application of those methods has been hand-coded or very specifically put in place according to security event information rules or other sorts of mechanisms to bring it together. if you start looking at more general techniques, that's been very resistant to try and get. And yet we have attackers that are starting to exploit more systemic weaknesses in our organizations. Okay. And so we need to start looking at things like network flow, which give us a broad view, mm-hmm. but look beyond network flow into a more in-depth view.
Right. So if I am actually in this world, if I'm a data analyst, I'm a network analyst, what can I do now? What have you got in the things that you've been working on that I can put to use now? How do I find out about them? How do I learn how to be better at using network flow in my work?
Well, one, the tool suite that we use, which is architected to handle very large networks, but has been successfully applied at even home network level,
okay.
is available open source and for free. It's on the website tools.netsa.cert.org.
Okay.
And with substantial documentation. I mean, we've got a 150-page book on how to analyze network flow data.
I'm guessing that we have some of the training modules out of our virtual training environment to be able to support that?
Yes, there are some training modules that are there.
I figured there were.
There are also numerous tech tips for doing particular sorts of analysis, but worked examples of doing it. But the tools themselves are very, very stable tool set. Like I said, they've been around since 2003. So over the years, we've built them pretty bulletproof. This is not a fly-by-night open source operation.
Gotcha.
Two, we have a number of worked studies that are available on the SCI website as technical reports. In particular, Sid Faber and Austin Wisnant did a report on using network flow to profile your network.
Okay.
Because oftentimes when you're dealing with a large network, the network isn't quite what the organization thinks it is. Services are not necessarily fielded exactly and only where the organization intends them to be fielded. And this tech report walks you through how do you unpeel the onion to really understand exactly what services you're providing and where.
Gotcha.
There's a couple of threat studies that are there about how to detect things like poison ivy, like things. Some of them are getting a little old now, but there's a number of threat studies which have been put out there. In addition, we have an annual conference on large-scale network analysis, principally using network flow, but now going well beyond network flow, and that's called FlowCon.
Huge surprise.
Yeah. No W in it, FLOCON.
Okay.
Hence the t-shirt. Yeah. The next one will be in San Diego in January.
Nice time to be in San Diego.
Okay. This particular conference's topic is network flow and beyond.
Okay.
And we have...
So this is very timely.
Yeah, it's very timely. We have participation from the BRO, Intrusion Detection System community. They frequently come and give tutorials. And they come and talk about some of the usage of doing that, particularly merging in flow with intrusion detection. We have people that present data, studies that they've done on using other sorts of data with flow.
Okay.
And how to bring it into a common format so that you can do a common analysis on it. We have poster sessions where people are presenting concepts and ideas and brief experiences that really aren't worth a full conference presentation,
sure.
but
sure.
it's an interesting thing. We actually have vendors that can talk about productized solutions with respect to that, and they come and do those things.
And I'm expecting you'll be there.
And I will be there. I actually am the only person that's been to all 12 FlowCons.
Wow.
And I anticipate being at this one, this
okay.
next one.
Okay, excellent.
And it's a very tech-heavy crowd, but a very approachable crowd. They are interested in talking at a technological level, but they're interested in attacking very, very substantive problems and are pretty open to discussions about some of these very substantive problems.
Cool.
So if you're interested in exploring some of those, this sorts of analysis, FlowCon is a very good case. Oh, and by the way, we also have a day of training on the first day of the conference in which we talk about how do you use some of these tools.
Excellent.
So it's in a very hands-on fashion.
Okay. All right. So You've given us a sort of a broad overview of network flow analytics. Where is your particular research headed in relationship to this? What are the problems that you're looking to attack in the next few years?
Well, network attackers are the ones that are serious about it, are really looking at targeting their attacks in ways that lowers their visibility.
Makes sense.
They want to remain hidden because they want to be able to lurk on the network and continue to steal data and service and so forth.
Learn vulnerabilities.
Not so much learning the vulnerabilities, but exploiting the vulnerabilities that would let you exfiltrate what it is they're looking for.
They want to steal stuff.
They want to steal stuff. They want to steal service. They want to use your access to gain access to other organizations.
Gotcha. The
evidence that they are there tends to be becoming more and more and more subtle. So we need to be able to use multiple data sources to look for clues in various places and be able to assemble those clues in a very cogent fashion. Right now, that's the work of a PhD, to really draw all the clues together, or a very experienced network analyst that really, really knows his network.
Okay.
We can't afford for it to stay that level. We've got to be able to democratize the defense of information where it becomes much more approachable definitions, where this is not something that you take 3 months to put to get the pieces together, because in those 3 months, the attacker's been extracted what they want and moved on.
Right.
And
you're only
one more victim in the chain, even if you discover that they're along. What you'd like to do is be able to discover as they're starting to attempt that they are there and be able to put together a profile that would not only help you block it, but your partner organizations, your customers, your vendors, help them secure their infrastructure as well. And building the kind of analysis that merges information in a way that's very approachable is really kind of the direction that my research is moving. And we're exploring several different sorts of information. We're looking at routing information. We're looking at address and domain registration information. We're looking at network inventory information. So what are the body of systems that are on the network? How are they configured? What operating systems are they running? What known vulnerabilities do they have? And we're looking at building environments in which we can easily pivot from static views to more dynamic views, such as supported by network flow.
Okay. All right. Sounds like you'll be busy for a little while.
I don't anticipate boredom anytime soon. Not that the SEI is usually boring.
No, I will agree with you. The SEI is rarely boring. Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and talking about this. I have a brother-in-law who is a network administrator. I hope he's listening to this because I don't know how much he's doing with network flow, but it sounds like he should be.
And if people are interested in FlowCon, there is more information at FlowCon on the cert.org website. There's
cert.org/flowcon/.
Yeah, FLOCON.
Yes.
And there is also the proceedings of the previous FlowCons available through the same website, which could give you an idea of what's been discussed in the past and could help you, motivate you to either attend or
or learn more.
Contact people that are of interest.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for all this information. I know that people will enjoy meeting you at FlowCon. So we will include links to the FlowCon URL that we just spoke about, as well as all the rest of the things that are related to this on our during our transcript. This podcast is available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcast. And on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please send us email at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you, Tim, for joining us, and thank you all for watching.